First idea, I sing. Ok, canzone di Benvoutier, la musica. Billy Boy, no, mi sono sbagliato, scusi. Better have the second idea. No, first idea. Where have you been, Billy Boy, where have you been, charming Billy? I've been to see my wife, she's a darling of my life, she's a young thing who cannot leave her mother. And how old is she, Billy Boy, and how old is she, charming Billy? She's 8 times 7, 27 and 11, she's a young thing who cannot leave her mother. Can she make a cherry pie, Billy Boy, can she make a cherry pie, charming Billy? She can make a cherry pie quicker than cat can wink its eye, she's a young thing who cannot leave her mother. And now I propose anybody who wants to do Fluxus music just sings a song. Idea number two for Fluxus. Take the record and eat it. If it's too hard to eat, throw it out of the window. Idea per il musica. Mais non, ça perd. Je ne sais pas. I don't know. I don't know what to do. Okay.
Once upon a time there was a great mother who made the world.
The world.
And everything in it came from her body.
Her body.
And she was the source of material and spirit. And we all belonged to her.
Everything
was called, she. Or comes from she. And the men liked that and wanted to be a part of she.
That's possible.
That's possible.
Yeah.
Everything was called she. The birds were she. The bees were she. The trees were she. The ocean was she. The earth was she. The sky was she. The light was she. The night was she. The sun was she. The seeds were she. The cup was she. The thread was she. It was all called she because of how it went together. The knife
was us.
The plow
was us.
The screwdriver.
The key,
of course.
Of course.
The stick. All these implements.
Isn't that a bit mechanistic?
In Sumerian, in Hopi, the words for make, for clay, for hand, for building block, for stroke, for image, all have female gender.
Are you sure?
Well, wait.
Wait.
Just wait.
Wait.
A minute. The marauding males make separate tribes. The male aggressive principles will change all that. The Romans and Christians will chop up their sacred spaces.
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Indeed, they did.
Indeed, they did.
Didn't they?
Now, we must search for the archaic roots in modern languages.
Oh, yes. That's a thought.
That's a thought. Okay.
Yes.
Now look at the French language.
Language.
It's very funny how all the genitals are reversed. So that the female genitals have a male gender. And the male genitals have a female gender.
She
says when she asks
she
about
asks
this,
about
the man says,
man,
but... It is because
we belong
to the other,
each,
to the other one.
Other one.
It's each. A heterosexual clamp on language.
Language.
If we were women
and
lovers,
and
would you want to call each other's sex by a male word?
Word.
On the other hand, if we were male and lovers. Would we
find it amusing
to name each other's sex by a female word?
Word.
Oh, that would be funny.
Oh, that would be funny.
Yes. Why?
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 A suggestive word like pouch has two forms. Le sac et
la poche.
Parent is male.
Male.
Le parent, for instance. And also
parasite.
And parsley.
Parsley.
Le persil.
But peony.
Peony is female.
Female.
La pivoine. But
perfume
is male.
Male.
Le parfum. Perhaps
because
he thinks of smelling her genitals.
Her genitals.
It's not logical.
No, it really doesn't seem to be logical.
The men must have taken authority over naming. Over lexicon.
Lexicon. A bitter battle.
Even among themselves.
It was a bitter battle.
Whose words are what?
In Italian, Pen is female.
Female.
La pena.
La pena.
Hole is male.
Male.
Il buco. While hold
is female.
La
stiva. La
stiva. The lying in.
To give birth.
Il accouchement is male. Birth is male.
Male.
Birthday.
Birthplace.
Both male.
Male.
You see how greedy they were to take her powers for themselves?
Building.
Blaze. Bleach.
Blend.
Block.
Blood.
Block. Blood. Are male. In this column. Blanket. Blemish. Blessing. Bliss.
Blizzard. Bloom.
Bloom. Are female.
Female.
In this column.
Column.
Now, in Italian.
In Italian.
The baker is male. The bakery is female.
Female.
And bait is female.
Female.
The balance. Is male.
Male.
And the balance sheet.
Balance sheet.
And the balcony.
And ballet.
Is male.
Il balletto.
But
the ballroom
is female.
La sala da ballo.
Sono le 22:30.
Per l'Europol è che gli stati nu.
Thank you.
America.
Sono anche sei, nel senso solamente adesso, perché è precisamente mezz'ora, eravamo in disturbati e non si voleva proprio da mezz'ora.
Robert Filliou is a French poet, writer, and artist who's never taken, so far as I know, a creative writing course, whose degree was in economics. His first published work, he was a co-author of the United Nations White Paper for the Post-War Recovery of Korea. He abandoned economics and went into art back in the 1950s, mid-50s. In the late 1950s, he became associated with a group in Paris organized by Pierre Rastani called the Nouveau Realiste, who were informally associated with the American New Realism. And later, many of the people among the Nouveau Realiste became associated with the Fluxus movement. Fluxus itself was an outgrowth organized by students of John Cage of the Happenings movement, which was very active in performing arts, iconoclastic forms of various sorts, in the late 1950s and early 60s. And the two people with whom Filliou has been most closely associated over the years are Daniel Spyri, one of the Nouveau Realiste, and George Brecht, one of the Fluxus people. He comes from southern France, Filliou, and his French is decidedly not Academy French. His preference culturally is entirely for his region, for the Argot, and in fact, his publications have almost all taken place outside of France, in Belgium and in West Germany, in England, in the United States, even in Iceland, but almost nothing in France. Now, his work with Spyri has taken such forms as a group of exhibitions of visual realizations of French proverbs. Another important group of things, he and George Brecht rented a little shop in southern France in Villefranche near Nice, which is a tourist town. And off-season, it's a very, very quiet place, which was just fine for them, because they sat around in their little shop, which was called La Cédille qui sourit, and which was supposedly a place where things were sold which did have a cédille in the name in French, or which did not have a cédille in the name in French. And they sat around building projects and cloud castles of various sorts, some of which were very practical, very realizable things. For instance, one of their more feasible things was a thing which they even proposed to a French legislator, that marriage license should be made temporary, that your marriage license would be good, say, for 5 years. And if at the end of that time you chose not to renew it, why, automatically your marriage was terminated, which would at least cause people to reconsider the relationship over the years. Others of the things which they dreamed of were pieces in a more Fluxus format. Fluxus is associated with happenings and improvised art and with the use of scenarios, but not of literary texts, and also with miniatures and games. And they made many, many games and miniature pieces, such as a series of things called one-minute scenarios, which were intended to be either films or videotapes, which would last approximately 1 minute to perform. Little visual fantasies, visual puns of one sort or another. When I was a publisher of Something Else Press in the late 60s, we issued a book of Filliou and Brecht's speculations called Games at the Cédille. And you can see quite a few of the projects which I've described in there, the one-minute scenarios and also more difficult to describe things. But many, many of these things were games of art because they wanted to stress the game aspect of art and the humor. Now, this text which we're going to hear, The Whispered Art History, was written originally in English. Unlike most French authors, Filliou is quite excellent in English, and has written quite a few of his texts in English. There's only one error, and that nobody, so far as I know, has ever wanted to correct Filliou on. See if you can find it. It has to do with glasses. He talks about a nearsighted person, or which he calls short-sighted, which is perfectly all right, and he talks about far-sighted as being long-sighted, is the term he uses. It's sort of picturesque where it comes up, so nobody's ever wanted to correct poor Robert about that one. It is a lecture, and the lecture is a perfectly valid art form, but almost nobody ever uses it as such. John Cage has done so in recent years, but apart from him, I don't know of any lectures that are also artworks since the 19th century, since the days, say, of Emerson or of Matthew Arnold or of John Henry Newman or others of that sort. Also, it refers to and tropes the French sermon style, which is considered classical, of people such as Bossuet. But where Bossuet is very lovely and very moving, a sort of French classical prose at its height, it's usually studied by people who are interested in rhetoric, the style is extremely humorless, and that cannot be said of Robert Filliou's Whispered Art History, which is humorous and cyclical in its approach. It uses personal mythologies, which he builds up. For instance, the beginning of the history of art takes place on January 17th, which just happens to be Filliou's birthday. And it develops metaphors in a very impersonal way. They notice the contrast between the whispered parts and the spoken parts, which are numerical. You can fill in your own imagination these numerical parts, what might come on such days. And the ways that he speaks them sounds like the traditional method of reading Bossuet and that kind of thing. But rather than simply insist that it's humorous and to try to drag on explaining what the text is like, I think it can pretty well stand on its own legs, and I suggest that that's what it do.
Whispered Art History.
It all started the 17th of January, 1 million years ago. A man took a dry sponge and dropped it into a bucket full of water. Who that man was is not important. He's dead, but art is alive. I mean, let's keep names out of this. As I was saying, at about 10 o'clock, the 17th of January, 1 million years ago, a man sat alone by the side of a running stream. He thought to himself, where do streams run to and why? Meaning, why do they run? Or why do they run where they run? That sort of thing. Personally, once I observed a baker at work, then a blacksmith and a shoemaker at work, and I noticed that the use of water was essential to their work. But perhaps what I have noticed is not important.
Anyway, the 17th goes into the 18th, then the 19th, then the 20th, the 21st, the 22nd, the 23rd, the 24th, the 25th, the 26th, the 27th, the 28th, the 29th, the 30th, the 31st of January. Thus time goes by.
In the depths of winter, 100,000 years ago, on the 17th of February, for more exactitude, a man bent to the ground and took a handful of snow. Who that man was is not important. He's dead, but art is alive. I mean, let's keep names out of this. Bending to the ground then, on the 17th of February, 100,000 years ago, a man took a handful of snow. He held it to his ear. He squeezed the snow hard. He heard. Try it sometime. Take a bottle of vinegar in your right hand. In your left hand, take a piece of chalk. Let a few drops of vinegar fall on the piece of chalk and see what happens. But perhaps what you see is not important.
Anyway, the 17th goes into the 18th, then the 19th, then the 20th, the 21st, the 22nd, the 23rd, the 24th, the 25th, the 26th, the 27th, the 28th, and every 4 years the 29th of February, thus time goes by.
It's 17th of March, 10,000 years ago, a man bought himself a bottle of beer. Who that man was is not important. He's dead, but art is alive. I mean, let's keep names out of this. A man then, on his 17th of March, 10,000 years ago, bought himself a bottle of beer. He opened it. He drank the contents. Now, he thought, the bottle is empty. Or is it? That is, he asked himself, is there really nothing in the bottle? My wife also, when she walks in the fog, often wonders what is fog. And when she looks at the clouds, she wonders what are clouds. Or so she tells me. But perhaps what my wife tells me is not important.
Anyway, the 17th goes into the 18th, then the 19th, then the 20th, the 21st, the 22nd, the 23rd, the 24th, the 25th, the 26th, the 27th, the 28th, the 29th, the 30th, the 31st of March, thus time goes by.
1,000 years ago, on his 17th of April, a man went to the butcher and bought a fresh bone. Who that man was is not important. He is dead, but art is alive. I mean, let's keep names out of this. So this man bought a fresh bone on the 17th of April, 1,000 years ago. He boiled it. For an hour or so, he boiled the bone. When he took it out, its aspect, he thought, was not the same. You yourself can verify it. Spread glue on your floor. Next to it spread tar. Next to it spread fruit jelly. Next to it spread biscuit paste. Now, look at what you've done. But perhaps what you have done is not important.
Anyway, the 17th goes into the 18th. Then the 19th, then the 20th. The 21st, the 22nd, the 23rd, the 24th, the 25th, the 26th, the 27th, the 28th, the 29th, the 30th of April, thus time goes by.
In the month of May, 500 years ago, on the 17th of May to be precise, a man walked to a park. Who that man was is not important. He's dead, but art is alive. I mean, let's keep names out of this. A man then walked to a park, the 17th of May, 500 years ago. He pulled the coin out of his pocket. He pushed it into the ground. Then he took the coin out. He looked at the print left in the earth. He thought a long time, then decided he could buy nothing with it. My daughter, likewise, tried to cut a match with a pair of scissors. First she put the match between the tips of the two blades. Then she put the match at the top of the angle formed by the two blades. Although her age is not yet 3, she. But perhaps what my daughter's age is not important.
Anyway, the 17th goes into the 18th, then the 19th, then the 20th, the 21st, the 22nd, the 23rd, the 24th, the 25th, the 26th, the 27th, the 28th, the 29th, the 30th, the 31st of May. Thus time goes by.
It was the 17th of June, 400 years ago. A man took a rubber ball and threw it into the waves. Who that man was is not important. He's dead, but art is alive. I mean, let's keep names out of this. So that man, on the 17th of June, 400 years ago, took a rubber ball and threw it into the waves. The ball floated upon the waves. He fished it out. With a knife, he made a few holes into the rubber ball. He threw it back into the waves. The ball sank. You also, when at the grocer's, observe his scales. It indicates the price as well as the weight of the thing you bought. How? What did you buy? How much did it weigh? What did it cost? But perhaps what it cost is not important.
Anyway, the 17th goes into the 18th, then the 19th, then the 20th, the 21st, the 22nd, the 23rd, the 24th, the 25th, the 26th, the 27th, the 28th, the 29th, the 30th of June. Thus time goes by.
On the 17th of July, 300 years ago, a man decided to take his temperature every morning until the end of the month. Who that man was is not important. He's dead, but art is alive. I mean, let's keep names out of this. It was 300 years ago, on the 17th of July. A man decided to take his temperature every morning until the end of the month. He noted it down on a chart. At the end of the month, he thought, I'll plot my temperature line on the chart, and I'll find out something about my health. Here is for your own reflection. Measure the surface of your body. Is it superior or inferior to 1.5 square meters? What atmospheric pressure does it withstand? Your body, that is. But perhaps what atmospheric pressure your body withstands is not important.
Anyway, the 17th goes into the 18th, then the 19th, then the 20th, the 21st, the 22nd, the 23rd, the 24th, the 25th, the 26th, the 27th, the 28th, the 29th, the 30th, the 31st of July. Thus time goes by.
200 years ago, on the 17th of August, a man dived into the sea to a depth of 10 to 15 feet. Who that man was is not important. He is dead, but art is alive. I mean, let's keep names out of this. So on a summer day, the 17th of August, 200 years ago, a man dived into the sea to a depth of 10 to 15 feet. He tried to breathe. He found it difficult and tried to guess why. a film, take an orchestra seat. When the film is over, go up to the balcony. See the film a second time. Where did you find the temperature warmer? Downstairs or upstairs? Though perhaps what you find is not important.
Anyway, the 17th goes into the 18th, then the 19th, then the 20th, the 21st, the 22nd, the 23rd, the 24th, the 25th, the 26th, the 27th, the 28th, the 29th, the 30th, the 31st of August. Thus time goes by.
100 years ago, the 17th of September, a man grabbed a hammer and went down to the basement of his house. Who that man was is not important. He's dead, but art is alive. I mean, let's keep names out of this. A man grabbed a hammer and went down to the basement of his house. It's 17th of September, 100 years ago. He got a piece of anthracite, then a piece of charcoal. He put them side by side. With the hammer, he hit the anthracite. Then he hit the charcoal. Then he compared the results. As for you, if you wish, light a candle. Put some flour in the palm of your hand. Blow the flour into the flame of the candle. Do you hear anything? But perhaps what you hear is not important.
Anyway, the 17th goes into the 18th, then the 19th, then the 20th, the 21st, the 22nd, the 23rd, the 24th, the 25th, the 26th, the 27th, the 28th, the 29th, the 30th of September. Thus time goes by.
10 years ago, precisely on the 17th of October, a man caught a frog. Who that man was is not important. He will die soon, but art is alive. I mean, let's keep names out of this. The 17th of October, I said, 10 years ago, a man caught a frog. He held it in his hand. He looked at it closely and wondered, can the frog hear noises? He looked for the frog's ears on its head. A friend of mine, whose eyesight is perfect, likes to read the morning newspaper by holding in front of it a short-sighted man's eyeglasses. And in the evening, he reads the newspaper by holding in front of it a long-sighted man's eyeglasses. He says he finds it fun. But perhaps what my friend finds fun is not important.
Anyway, the 17th goes into the 18th, then the 19th, then the 20th, the 21st, the 22nd, the 23rd, the 24th, the 25th, the 26th, the 27th, the 28th, the 29th, the 30th, the 31st of October. Thus time goes by.
5 years ago, 17th of November, a man stood at the bottom of a staircase. Who that man was is not important. He will die soon, but art is alive. I mean, let's keep names out of this. That 17th of November, 5 years ago, a man stood at the bottom of a staircase. He counted his heartbeats for 1 minute. Then he ran up the steps of the staircase. When he got to the top, again he counted his heartbeats. You two, in the fall, can measure up the height of a small tree. Wait until the following spring. Measure the tree once more. Has it grown during the winter? Do you know why? But perhaps what you know is not important.
Anyway, the 17th goes into the 18th, then the 19th, then the 20th. The 21st, the 22nd, the 23rd, the 24th, the 25th, the 26th, the 27th, the 28th, the 29th, the 30th of November. Thus time goes by.
The 17th of December, 1 year ago, a man took a dry sponge and dropped it into a bucket full of water. Who that man was is not important. He will die soon, but art is alive. I mean, let's keep names out of this. As I was saying, 17th of December 1 year ago, a man took a dry sponge and dropped it into a bucket full of water. He waited 5 seconds. Then he took the sponge out. He pressed it. He saw. Never mind what he saw. I'm not trying to conclude. Not trying to conclude alone is important.
For please keep in mind that the 17th of December is followed by the 18th, then the 19th, then the 20th, the 21st, the 22nd, the 23rd, the 24th, the 25th of December, that on the 25th of December Jesus was born. Or so the Christians say. The Jews deny it. The Muslims are of two minds about it. The Buddhists don't care, nor do the communists and the atheists. As for the artists, well, what the artists believe is another story.
You've been listening to A Whispered Art History, an art lecture by Robert Filliou, a French Fluxus artist and intermedial artist who writes and does intermedial artwork in France and elsewhere. This tape was recorded and produced by Ondina Fiore for the New Wilderness Foundation in New York.